This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, this particular show, this segment, and the next to follow is a guilty pleasure segment because it's all about a coffee machine that not only grinds and brews your coffee, but it roasts it. Roast, grind, and brew coffee maker. And I've never seen anything like this before that starts at $7.99. So I thought, you know what? This is interesting enough to me. This is something brand new coming into the market. Matter of fact, it'll be available later on this summer. And when I heard that Liz Wald, head of U.S. operations, the company is called Bonaverda, is available for a conversation, because I'm a coffee snob-ish, kind of, a little bit. And so, but I love coffee. I mean, it's something I start my day with every day. I have a very, very expensive, we're talking four times what this will cost, coffee machine that grinds. But this coffee machine, Liz, roasts, grinds, and brews the coffee. I've never heard anything like this. So maybe we could talk about it and what it takes to bring a product from, you know, from the, I guess, a German-based company, right, from Berlin, and what it takes to bring a company, you know, a new product to market, to a global market. Now, I also see that you worked at Indiegogo, who I know Danae Ringelman, who started Indiegogo with her partners, and I think to myself, you know, this might be interesting, and my guilty pleasure is involved. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. It's great to be on the show.
And being that I just got back from Spain and have been up, you know, a 24-hour travel day, got 4 hours sleep, and I'm sitting here with a big cup of coffee right now. So let's first of all talk about this awesome new coffee machine, and then we'll go into, you know, what it takes to launch a company, and I should say a brand, a product into the market globally like this. You must have a lot of folks out there testing this product, giving you feedback. Let's talk about this. This is going to help. This is very entrepreneurial in spirit. A lot of people have great ideas. I have a friend that tried to do something with skateboards, and he failed miserably because he didn't do enough pre-testing of the product to get, you know, the feedback. So let's talk about this. First of all, tell us about Bonaverda.
Super. Well, Bonaverda is a, as you mentioned, Berlin-based startup, started by Hans Stier about 5-6 years ago, actually, when he had an idea that we get beans into our coffee-drinking countries, whether it's in Europe or the U.S., but then we roast them. And we do that at a large level, and then it goes to stores, and then finally comes to individuals.
Right.
But the beans come green from the coffee-producing countries. So wouldn't it be great if we could take the green coffee beans and put those into our coffee machine, roast them ourselves, then grind and brew, and really have the truest, freshest cup of coffee that you can imagine, and at the same time, add a little bit more value to the farmer rather than to the middlemen adding all these extra processes. So that was kind of, in a nutshell, his thinking behind bringing this product to market.
It's so interesting to hear that somebody looks at this, you know, which could be, we'll consider it a crowded marketplace of, you know, coffee makers and coffee, you know, the coffee business right now. There's so many giants, and he's reinventing the entire process, you might say, by having you roast and grind your own coffee. But not only that, I mean, we're talking green beans. And let's just talk about the green bean aspect. Where do I get my green beans to begin with?
Well, you know, usually until the last few years, it wasn't real common that you would be able to just go buy green beans in small amounts. Usually green beans are brought in 60 kilo large bags by container load. And then a roasting company, whether a big chain like a Starbucks or a small independent coffee shop, would roast those beans to the profiles that they like, whether medium or dark, and then sell those roasted beans to consumers. Maybe they're ground, maybe they're whole bean, maybe they just sell them cups of coffee. But today, you can find a few green beans if you go into a more specialty coffee shop and you say, hey, I'd like to buy a couple of kilos of green coffee beans. The problem is, if you were to take those beans home and, you know, put them out on a cookie sheet and stick them in your oven, your whole house would smell terrible, and the coffee would taste sort of equally as bad. Because when you roast a coffee bean, you have to think about sort of three things: certainly the temperature. But you also have to think about airflow and how much oxygen is getting into the beans, and also the time.
All right, hold it right there.
Those variables have to be adjusted.
I want to take a break. I have to take a break, as a matter of fact. But it's amazing. I mean, that you have all this technology built into this machine. It starts at $799. I love that, because, you know, to spend $3,000 like I did, the average person would never do that. But to do all this for that kind of price, and bringing it brand new to the market, it's worth talking about on Entrepreneur Radio. We'll take a little break and be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Radio, guilty pleasure coffee segment here for all you entrepreneurs that love coffee like I do. We're talking with Liz Wald. She is the head of U.S. operations for a company that makes, and by the way, a Berlin-based company that makes the world's first roast, grind, and brew coffee maker. And she's bringing it to market here in the U.S. and around the world this summer. The company is called Bonaverde, and that's BonaVerde.com. You can look it up on the web. A big job taking on, this is a David and Goliath story, I think, taking on the big coffee companies with something completely all-fangled new to roast, grind, and brew your own coffee with green beans. So my question is, I can find the green beans. Is the coffee more intense? Does it taste better? Then we'll get into the business stuff. Because, see, I'm being very selfish here right now as I drink my coffee. Go ahead, Liz.
Sure thing. So when you brew coffee, your beans, your typical beans that you've had sitting in the store, they could be there for, you know, 6 months. They could have been there a year. They could be there even a couple of weeks. They go very quickly from the freshest they can be to something that's not quite as fresh. It's not going to hurt you, but it's not as fresh as they could be.
Right. You can taste when they start going rancid. Yeah,
exactly. Green beans have a long shelf life, but once you roast them, that immediate flavor that you come right after you roast the green beans, or even if you might want to wait, you can roast them and wait a few hours and then grind them and brew them. But that freshness that's captured there, you really can't get in an already roasted bean that you might buy at a store. So we're really talking about a super fresh cup of coffee.
Mm. You know, and when I saw the price point of, you guys have, I guess, two, one's $7.99, one's $9.99, I thought to myself, how can that be when I paid $2,900 for mine? And I thought, and mine doesn't even, you know, roast. I'm just grinding. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my machine. Love it to death. But this, it's like the process. So talk about what you guys have gone through to get to this point. Like you said, the founder of this company, Bonaverde, has been going, what, 5-6 years now. And you guys have, I think we talked for just a moment. You said you had about 300 in the market for test units for feedback from people. How's that going?
So the beta testers have been amazing. I mean, people are so great about testing out new products. And originally, Hans did some crowdfunding campaigns. He did one on Kickstarter and one on Indiegogo to bring these products to market. And those folks have often been our best sources of feedback. It's really a challenge when you invent a brand new product.
Yeah.
To think about, you're only roasting a small number of beans, like for one pot of coffee. So you got to figure out, how can you roast the exact profile for one pot of coffee in a coffee maker that's going to look great in your house, the right size, and is easy to use? And I think that's the real win about this machine, is it's a very simple process.
Mm. So the question is, where did he get the data to begin with? Because it's all about these days, you know, hardware and software. So at some point, it's all computerized to know exactly what it's got to do. Am I right?
Yes. So what happens is, you take this little pouch. You imagine a regular coffee filter that you put in a typical drip coffee maker. Imagine that coffee filter has some green beans in it, and it's been sealed shut. You tear that open. You pour the green beans into a little drawer. And that's the roasting element. And then you take that filter and you put it in just like you would a regular coffee maker using a regular coffee filter. And there's a little RFID chip on that coffee pouch that you have just opened. And what you do is you hold that little chip up to the front of the machine where it says scan, and it reads that RFID chip and says, oh, this pouch of coffee is from Nicaragua. It's a medium roast. We should roast it for 11 minutes and 22 seconds and then grind it at this rate and make your coffee. So it's very high tech, but also super simple for the user.
Unbelievable. And I still am amazed at the, you know, about $800 for the starting point. All right. Now when we come back, we'll take another break. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the business side of this and how difficult it is to get out into the marketplace and, you know, sell this newfangled, this redesigned mousetrap, you might say. We're talking with the head of U.S. operations for Bonaverde, bonaverde.com, B-O-N-A-V-E-R-D-E.com. I got to have me one of these machines. And if you're like me, then check out their website. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We love helping the entrepreneur. And that may be what this is right now, because it's my guilty pleasure. Roast, grind, and brew coffee maker. First one in the world. We'll be right back.
Now I have to worry about what is worst or what is best.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, we've gotten past the guilty pleasure part of my interview here, the coffee part. This product is called the Bonaverde Berlin. It's the world's first roast, grind, and brew coffee maker. They're bringing it to market. Our guest right now is Liz Walsh. She's the head of U.S. operations for Bonaverde. And again, you can check them out at bonaverde.com. But the question I have, and now it turns into the business part and where we can help others that have great ideas that want to bring a product to market. I see that you were the VP of design and technology with Indiegogo, so you're familiar with crowdfunding. And I believe that this company, Bonaverde, is also big into crowdfunding and using that to help them develop the product that will eventually be sold to the general public. Now, there are, you said, roughly 300 of these products out in the hands of consumers. We'll call them testers, like myself. I do this on a lot of different products and mainly cars with me. I just got back from Spain driving the new Volvo XC60. It was a worldwide launch there, so I flew all the way out there to drive this car around the mountains. And in this case, people get to try this grind, or it's roast, grind, and brew coffee maker, which I happen to love. Again, the question is it a big part of your product development of this machine, this crowdfunding stuff?
It absolutely is a big part, and I'll tell you why. When you're an entrepreneur and you've got an idea, but you don't come from a large company with all kinds of design and manufacturing resources, you've really got a great idea and a lot of enthusiasm, and you've tapped into the pulse of something that people want, you need all that input from folks. And you also need them to have the patience to allow you the experimentation you need in order to bring a product that will be great to the market. Not just one that, yes, it does the three things it says. We want something that people use and they say, I can't wait to make my next pot of coffee.
They know that you're sending out what we'll call, in the auto industry, they call it a mule, you know, a product that is a test product. And you are asking
our
them.
Our beta machine.
Beta. Okay, there you go. Beta machine. And you are asking for, you know, how do you like these features? This, does the style work for you? I need your feedback. It's really important to us. They know that going in, that they're going to get a product that may have a problem or two. Is that how it works? I'm just curious because this
exactly.
is a huge undertaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, people will pay us for the privilege of doing
wow.
this
wow.
because they are so interested in being part of our process and helping bring a product to market. So they'll give us all kinds of feedback, good and bad. It's always great to hear your product is super, but it's much more helpful to hear how they would improve it. One of the things I noticed on it is that we have a light that blinks when the coffee machine is ready to go. But I don't want that blinking all day in my house. So that was a small kind of a tweak that we would change based on things that people told us about having the machine for weeks and weeks in their house rather than just seeing it one time for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Even when I was on this test drive here recently in Spain, the cars are pretty well baked. We'll call it, you know, using your the fact that you guys roast and grind your coffee. The cars were pretty much done. And I had a few comments to them, and they were like very thankful. They said, you know what? We need that. And I think that that's a different mindset. When you're dealing with bringing a product to market like this, you need people that will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about your product. Because at some point, you don't want to make hundreds of thousands of these things and then go, oh, dang it, that blinking light makes everybody, you know, angry at the machine. It's like we have this lovely machine, but like to your point, they don't want to be distracted walking through because a red blinking light means, you know, trouble, Will Robinson, into some people's minds. So, you know, maybe it's just a nice little green light that stays ready, you know?
Absolutely. And I love the Lost in Space reference. But the thing about it is, even after we ship the final production level product to our supporters this summer and make it open to the public, I'm sure we will continue to collect feedback from people.
Yeah.
And continue to think about ways to refine it. So that's our DNA, is to always be out there in a conversation, a two-way conversation, not just a one-way conversation.
Right. Well, personally, I can't wait to try this machine. Again, we were talking about the world's first roast, grind, and brew coffee maker. These guys are trying to reinvent the mousetrap, and only just to make a better one. It just takes a whole lot of courage in today's marketplace. So maybe we can have your CEO and founder on sometime once this hits the market, and I'll certainly give it a try. In the last minute here, in your, you know, years of being in business and doing this, what is the one thing you have learned about bringing a product to market that you can share with the folks out there?
I think the main thing I've learned is that there are so many people that are excited about the different stages of the process. One quick thing we didn't mention was our farmers, the growers. They're also super excited about this, to be able to create their own brands, to say, this is my green coffee bean. I mean, when you're an entrepreneur and you can not only affect the end consumer, but all the people through the value chain, that's probably the most rewarding piece of it, is to be able to say to the farmers as well as the consumers, we're doing something that's really going to make your life better and the people are going to love.
I love it. Beautiful. Well, excellent. I cannot wait to see this in the marketplace again. Website is Bonaverde, BonaVerde.com. I can't wait to get one in my hands because I love coffee. Liz, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Alan. Great to be here.
Best of luck to you, and I'll let you know when I get one in my hands, folks. I'm a coffee snob. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka.
I can't stop this feeling.
This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this song reminds me of my friend Colby K. Colby Colibus. He's on the line right now, founder of Healthy Primate and Simple Money Methods. But more importantly, we're going to be together coming up here June 23rd and 24th, I'm pretty sure is the date, for Meltdown in the Desert 2. Colby, what's going on, man?
Ooka chaka, man. Thank you so much for having me on, man.
That just reminds me of Healthy Primate, man. First of all, talk about Meltdown in the Desert. Make sure I got the dates right and everything, because I got so much traveling going on. I'm going to have to take a red eye to get there just for Sunday.
It is Saturday, Sunday, so it's the 24th, 25th. You're close.
Okay, close enough. I knew it was somewhere around in there.
Tell the
world what Meltdown in the Desert is, by the way.
My man, it is a combination of people, social media meets entrepreneurship. It collides together. Right. You know, right now there are over 1.8 billion people that are going to be on Facebook in the next 24 hours. And when I put this event together, this is our second event. What I found in the marketplace was a lot of people are talking about social media, but are people really leveraging it to grow their personal brand, their business brand, and expanding and using it outside of a tool that just like a cat videos? Right. So we, I grabbed a handful of friends last year. A buddy of mine, his name is Sean Whalen. He's got about 30 million followers. He's in the kind of self-help men's development kind of stage, I guess you could say. Another buddy was doing videos around kind of being vulnerable and telling the truth. And we had a girl who was selling million-dollar homes on Snapchat. And then my niche on this, man, was the business side is, if you didn't know who, if you did business with me, you knew who I was. If you didn't do business with me, my social media was just like most people. You know, I had 125 friends. They were all people I knew. It was pictures of people's kids and vacations. And when I opened it up and really started talking about understanding how to take ideas and do something with those ideas, how to build supplemental income based on your passions, how to really kind of break away from the being a slave to the 9-to-5, so to speak. And I started sharing that openly on social media. My first year, I hit 2 million impressions. This year, I'll hit 10 million.
Wow.
And in that, what I wanted to do is, you know, I got a lot of friends like yourself and, you know, Mr. Duffy, and we're all doing some really, really cool things to build businesses and to connect on social media. So this event, we've got over 20 speakers. We've got numerous workshops. And it's not talking heads that talk about this kind of stuff. It's people that are doing it. You know, our keynote, Tim Bilyeu from Quest Nutrition, he's the CEO and founder of the fastest billion-dollar company in existence. They grew to $1 billion faster than any company in one of the toughest, probably most aggressive marketplaces on the planet, being health and wellness. And social media was a huge piece of that. What they were able to do on Instagram and get influencers to get their brand out changed the game. And we've got guys like that that are going to come in and share their stories on how they've been able to leverage social media, what it means to be an entrepreneur, overcoming those challenges, and then throwing everybody in a room for 2 days to network. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. The Entrepreneur TV crew is going to be there. And it's going to be 2 days worth remembering.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, partnering with Microsoft and Entrepreneur Magazine, and Scott and I with Business and Burgers are going to be there. Like you said, we're going to be able to bring a lot of great content back with us, but also live content for those that can't make it to Meltdown in the Desert 2 in, what is it, Phoenix, Arizona? Or Phoenix or Scottsdale? I haven't even looked for Phoenix.
It's Phoenix.
Last year
we were Scottsdale. That's the confusion, probably.
There you go. Well, that's what it is, and I wasn't sure. But, why'd you call it Meltdown in the Desert? That's what I want to know.
The whole premise as to how this whole thing came to be, I mean, you know Phoenix, Arizona. I'm driving right now. We're going to California, and I think it's probably 90 degrees right now at 10:30 in the morning.
Right.
In June, nobody wants to be here in June. You know, it's 115 degrees, and I thought, we are already going to be melting. I'm going to melt some faces. So it just kind of made sense, man, to melt, you know?
So funny.
You know, the story behind this, brother, how this whole thing came to be, my background, I spent 10 years in the music business as a DJ producer and a booking agent for some well-known music acts. And it was on the road for a really long time. And we were playing in venues that were, you know, 25 people all the way up to 10,000 to 20,000. I left that. I spent 20 years in corporate IT as an executive and became a speaker and a go-to on cloud technologies. And when I left that to go into the entrepreneurial world, I found myself in London in one of the companies I was working with, and a friend of mine had Gary Vaynerchuk speaking with another group of kind of entrepreneurs over a day summit.
Right. And by the way, everybody, Gary V is on the cover of Entrepreneur this month, so it's kind of cool. But go ahead.
Look at the plug and the timing of that. Gary V, you know, we love you. Congratulations on Planet of the Apps. Go to iTunes, check it. It's an awesome series you do with Will.i.am, Gwyneth, and Jessica Alba. So we're with Gary. We are in the oldest boxing ring in London. It's called York Hall in East London. There's 500 people there. I was helping my friend run operations, and I looked around and thought, with my music background, with doing events, and what I was seeing, there's this kind of a need in the marketplace with entrepreneurship, social media, and people that are actually out there doing it. I mean, hence why people love Gary so much. But while I was in London, I was with one of the keynote speakers, Sean Whalen, and one of the other speakers that was on last year's event. I literally said, hey, if I could secure a venue, would you guys come down and we could do the same thing in Phoenix? Within a day, I'd secured the venue. I do all my own graphic design. I did a flyer. I locked in tickets on Eventbrite. And we launched within 48 hours of me saying, hey, I think I want to do this. We sold 150 tickets in the first 48 hours because, you know, there's this huge need for people to hear what people are really, really doing and how they're driving and building these huge tribes. I mean, social media right now, each of us has the opportunity to be our own network, right? You know, hitting 10 million impressions for my own thing, and I'm nobody, man. I'm just a guy out here trying to make a difference like you guys. And, you know, when we have a reach, when you have a guy like, say, Sean Whalen, who has 30 million followers, or a guy like Tim Bilyeu, who can build a $1 billion business, you don't necessarily need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be have a production company. You can do this all by yourself. And the power, there's something really powerful in that, because we as individuals become our own creators.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to find out how to leverage social media to build a loyal fan base, just like Colby Kay has done. Again, Meltdown in the Desert 2, the 24th and 25th of June. We'll be there. Scott Duffy and myself, our friends from Microsoft, Steve Fielding, and a whole bunch of other people. And this is Entrepreneur Radio. We're going to talk with Colby some more right after this. Take a little break, pay some bills. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
We're talking with Colby Kay. Well, his real name is Colby. I don't even know how to say it. Calibus?
That's why it's Colby Kay. Colibus, yes.
Colibus. I don't know.
Colby Colibus.
You know what? So I met you for the first time at Park City, Utah. You came out, and we did our very first slider for Business and Burgers. You know, a slider's a little burger, right? So since we didn't have time to do a full show with you, which we will have to do at some point, we did a slider with you, which is, you know, should be coming out anytime. So you guys watch for it at businessandburgers.com. It'll also be available at entrepreneur.com. Anyway, a slider is basically a snackable piece of content where there's some good advice on how to do whatever it is that slider's about. So in this case, and since we're talking to you right now about how to leverage social media to build a loyal fan base like you have done in breakneck record speed. So right now, like, you know, I'm just getting going with Entrepreneur, with the radio show. We're like about, I don't know, 8 weeks into the whole thing. And I want to build a loyal fan base through having the ability to interact with people like you that can help others to learn at this breakneck speed. Because, you know, who's got extra time to burn? I mean, I'm 57. I'm going to be dead in 5 years, you know? So I got to do it quick, you know? So walk through, how did you go from like zero to hero? What did you say, 2 million followers or something?
2 million impressions.
Impressions.
Yeah, year one. Well, it took 10 months to get my first million. It was February to October, and then from October to October to December, I hit another million. So it's 2 million in my first year.
Good Lord. And so, I mean,
that's a combination of, yeah. Let me quantify and qualify. So when you say impressions, it's likes, views, shares, comments across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and then radio interviews and television spots. So I've been very blessed to be able to share my story in my things. And I was doing at one point 8 to 9 podcasts like a week. So I was on a tear, and I slowed down a little bit, but it's you take all of that collectively, that got me to 2, and my goal this year is 10.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is, of course, you are kind of the collective soul of the 5 people you hang with the most. You know, that's my new twist on that saying. Because at the end of the day, if you're running with some big dogs like these guys you're talking, it should be easy to accomplish that. You may even double it. You may hit 20 million, depending on how you do with Meltdown in the Desert 2. Of course, because people are like, who is this Colby guy? Who is this Alan Taylor guy? Who is it? You know, I didn't know Entrepreneur was doing podcasts and all these things now. And so it's like, as the word spreads, you know, that viral message continues to go out there into the world, the ripple all across the entire earth. And that's what you're doing. You called it a tribe. You know, you're growing your tribe, right?
Yep.
walk us through a little bit. I mean, you are different. You are a guy that has, you know, excess personality. The average person doesn't have that. You've got plenty and then some. The average person doesn't always have that. How do you bust out like that?
Oh, man, listen, I know where God blessed me, and I'm not good looking, so I have to make up with it with wit and personality. Let me just be clear there. So the I attribute all my success to ADD and ADHD, like as much of a joke as that sounds to me when they do the behind the music true story on my life, and I'm sitting on my own island with Richard Branson. They'll be like, Colby, what do you attribute all the success to? And I'm like, a couple different things here, right, is I've been super blessed with the ability to kind of share stories. And for me, when you start to look at, you know, how can people do this? What can they do? Let's take it back. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. When I stopped lying about how I showed up every day, and what I mean by that is I started leveraging the tools around me in a way that was, you know, it's still very different. What I mean by that is, as an entrepreneur, let's talk about this for a second. The emotions you go through before lunchtime are not what we would ever wish on anybody that we know. I wouldn't want a family member to go through it. I don't tell my friends to do it. We're cut from a different cloth. And we don't talk about that. Right? So for me, as I was going through my experience, it was literally with Healthy Primate, it started with losing a bunch of weight. I'm driving out to the race. It's great timing. I'm driving out to the race that it started this for me 4 years ago. It was our 6th year doing the race. I ran the race at about 260. It was the biggest I've ever been. Finished the race, look in the mirror, and what did I do to myself?
Wait a minute. Talk about the race, because you're losing me here. What race? Race what?
So I'm headed out to Camp Pendleton, and it's a marine obstacle course called the Mud Run in San Diego, California. So for me, this goes into kind of sharing this story. I'm going to tell you sharing a story by sharing a story. So when I started, this is how I kind of hit hypergrowth, was I shared the story of building a business from the entrepreneur's perspective.
All right, hold tight. We're going to come back because I got to take a commercial break. We're going to find out about this mud race and how you said you were 260 pounds?
Yep.
Dude! We'll take a little break.
I'm so hungry.
We're talking with Colby Kay. Meltdown in the Desert 2 coming up. I'm going to be there. We'll be right back.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today. Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
We're talking with Colby Colibus, also Colby K, a.k.a. Colby K. Meltdown in the Desert 2 coming up June 24 and 25. Scott Duffy and I from Business and Burgers will be there. Entrepreneur will be there. Of course, that's why we're there. Scott, I guess, is going to be on stage. I don't think Colby knows me well enough to put me on stage. Doesn't trust me. Because God knows, you know, I wouldn't put me on stage, but that's all right.
Last time I saw you on stage, I had to give you money to put your clothes back on. It was very comfortable. Very comfortable.
Oh, he's driving along right now on his way to Camp Pendleton. He was 260 pounds, lost a whole bunch of weight. Pick it up from there.
Lost a bunch of weight. I shared my story on a blog, started getting 11,000 hits a month. After I lost the weight, I was still very tense, very stressed out. Met with a nutritionist, and the long and short of it is, I became a specialist on cortisol production, which is stress hormone. My wife is in the car. She will tell you I'm still probably one of the most stressed out human beings you'll ever meet. But essentially for 2 years, I became a human guinea pig and I shared that story. So the last year was really showing all of the struggles because I turned my experience into a business. I took my idea and I tried to monetize it by launching a supplement line. I showcased that story, Alan. So it was literally from launching our product and designing the sourcing to why we did it, to essentially losing a main source of income because I had a day job while I was doing this, losing our home. And I showed the real, the raw, and the relevant aspects of what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And because I don't lie, and I'm not a BS artist, that message connected. And in that, I found this unique ability to be able to share with other entrepreneurs and people that want to take ideas, to show people how to take ideas and do something with that, and then share that message in a way that could resonate with their specific audience. Mm. And that's kind of the long and short of how I was able to hit speeds as fast as I was.
Well, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I heard such amazing things about Meltdown 1. And of course, Meltdown in the Desert 2, again, is coming up June 24 and 25 in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be doing some live Facebook live stuff on Entrepreneur Facebook. You know, so you guys who are listening and are followers of Facebook for Entrepreneur, you'll be able to see that. Of course, you can find Colby at his Facebook page, and maybe you could give the best one for them to go look at, Colby.
Facebook.com/ I am, is in the letters I'm Colby, K-O-L-B-Y, last name K-A-Y. You'll see me there, a handsome guy with a nice hat, and usually my wife is my co-conspirator, so you'll see probably the two of us, but that's the best place to find me. The event link is meltdownevent.com with all the information, and I will send you a link you can send out to your listeners, and we'll do some contests to get some guests to come down and see you guys live.
All right, well, that'll be at entrepreneur.com. You'll be able to find the podcast of this show before Meltdown happens, so you guys can check it out. Also, lots of podcasts of other guests we've had, like Alan Alda and John Ratzenberger, who has been in all the Pixar movies, including the newest one out, Cars 3. And you know him, Cliff Clavin from Cheers. These guys are all entrepreneurs, and a lot of women entrepreneurs we work with, too. As a matter of fact, I don't know, you didn't get to hear the segments before we talked to you about these guys are bringing this coffee machine that roasts, grinds, and makes your coffee for you, and it's like $799. It's so cool to watch technology, watch entrepreneurs at work, to reinvent the wheel. I mean, literally, they've reinvented the wheel to be able to take green coffee beans. It doesn't get any fresher than a green bean. You know what I mean? And to be able to roast it, grind it. It's like, I love that for a good price. My coffee machine costs $3,000. So believe me, I cannot wait. And they're coming to market with this. So the more people we can get wrapped into your event and learn how to use social media to build loyal fan bases, there's nothing more organic than a social media fan base, because they have chosen you instead of you going out and paying a bunch of money for advertising. It's people find you. They go, I like this guy. I like what they're selling. I like what they're doing. Whatever it is, social media is very, very honest in the way that people follow it, and they follow it with an intensity like no other. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It gives the power of everybody out there as an entrepreneur. We're problem solvers. Entrepreneurs kind of a buzzword. We're problem solvers.
Yep.
Finding a group of people with a need, creating a product or solution, and driving that to market. And social media, like you said, is the most natural, organic way for people to follow and be part of that message, man. We are our own brands individually and have had more power now than ever been available in the past. The internet has made this the ultimate equalizer, right?
It's a beautiful thing. Meltdownevent.com. You can also find him, thehealthyprimate.org. Colby K., my buddy, we'll see you out in Arizona, June 24 and 25.
Looking forward to it, brother.
All right, I'm Alan Taylor. That's it for this hour of Entrepreneur. Hope you've had a good time. I've obviously had a little too much coffee. I just was up 24 hours traveling from Spain. So I apologize if I was crazy, but that's me. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.